The Sphinx said,
"Just to be clear, I am allowed to eat you if you try to escape, or assault any member of the prison staff. Insolence and disobedience will be punished severely. Do as you're told, keep your mouth shut and your head down, and serve your time. And perhaps you will someday leave here with all your bones intact."
Alexandra said nothing, but watched the Sphinx from beneath her bangs, plastered to her forehead and clinging to her eyelids. The Sphinx's tail stopped swishing to and fro and stiffened, pointing at one of the exits behind it.
"Go through that doorway. My wife will explain the rules to you in more detail, and send you to your cell."
Alexandra walked in the direction indicated. Distantly, she sensed Charlie still flying around outside. "Stay away, Charlie," she thought. She had no idea what sort of defenses, magical or otherwise, Eerie Island might have. But she doubted inmates were allowed familiars, and surely they were prepared for aerial rescue attempts or escapes. She walked through yet another dark tunnel into a stone chamber that resembled a dungeon cell. Torches flickered in stands in all four corners, and exits, gated with iron-barred doors, were embedded in each wall. It was warmer here. Alexandra still shivered in her wet clothes, but the trembling was becoming less violent. Along one wall stood a huge, four-level wooden bookcase lined with books, scrolls, crystals, and statuettes, silver ornaments, and an old Russian matryoshka doll, carved African wooden masks, an urn, several wands, a stack of jigsaw puzzles, a Chinese vase, a jewel-studded tortoise, a stuffed owl, stacks of playing cards and tarot decks, a Rubik's Cube, a flute, the long row of decorations, knick-knacks, and artworks stretched off to the far wall. A large, polished table of what looked like petrified wood dominated one corner of the dim space. Someone reclined on a pile of cushions behind it, so Alexandra approached, stepping onto a large oriental rug. The figure behind the table lowered the crossword puzzle book she was perusing and leaned forward. No, not leaned. She tilted forward as the lower half of her body uncoiled. From the waist up, she was a woman of ageless, eerie beauty, with long, black hair that fell about her shoulders in a wild, uncombed tangle. Her eyes, heavily lidded, and her lips, thick and full, were alluring, almost sensual, despite a greenish tint to her skin. There was something ancient and wise about her, ancient, wise, and inhuman. She wore no clothes or jewelry. Beneath her bare breasts, her stomach stretched down to a scaly lower half, right where her belly button should have been, and from there down she was a snake, bigger around than Alexandra, and perhaps 30 or 40 feet in length, though it was hard to tell with the lower half of her body coiled beneath her.
"So," the snake woman said, "our newest guest. Speak your name."
Alexandra took a moment to absorb the heat in the room. It was much warmer than those torches could account for. The sense of arcane power tingling at the edges of her senses was stronger than ever. "Alexandra Octavia Quick," she said.
"Ah," said the snake woman. "You may call me Edna."
She snapped her fingers, and the nearest gate swung open. Something stepped out of it with a clank. Alexandra turned to face the thing that approached her, a towering figure in black plate armor. Walking with mechanical precision, the armored form stopped directly in front of her and stood motionless. The visored helm didn't tilt in her direction or move at all. Its mailed gloves hung loosely at its sides, the right one near the hilt of a long sword.
"This is your personal doom guard," said Edna. "It will follow you everywhere. It will stand outside your cell at night. It will stand just outside the privy and the shower, but never out of arm's length. It will stand at your back when you eat at the common areas, and it will accompany you should you be granted exercise or library privileges. In time, you will get used to it. They don't speak, they don't breathe, they don't sleep, they don't fatigue, and they will not stop following you. Ever."
Alexandra stared up at the Doom Guard. "So there's no one inside?" Edna chuckled, a hissing, raspy sound.
"They are soulless, bloodless, mindless, pitiless. Such marvelous toys."
She snapped her fingers again to bring Alexandra's attention away from the Doom Guard and back to her.
"The Doom Guard's purpose is very simple. If you attempt to escape, it will kill you. If you attempt to cast any spells, it will kill you. If you attack it or another prisoner, it will kill you."
Then she said something in a language Alexandra didn't recognize, and with a sudden, smooth motion, the Doom Guard drew its sword, seized Alexandra by the hair, and yanked her around so that she was facing the snake woman across the table with the Doom Guard at her back and the sword against her throat. She could feel the edge touching her skin and stopped breathing because she could sense its sharpness. If she hiccuped, she was sure she'd lose her hand. Edna spoke again, and the Doom Guard released her.
See how strong and fast they are.
The inhuman woman smiled, and the pupils of her eyes compressed into slits.
My husband, dear Typhi, probably told you how horrible Irianand can be. In fact, we impose very little punishment on human folk. Stay in your cells after curfew, and don't cause trouble, and you're free to wander about and do as you please, mostly. If you have family or friends willing to send you reading and writing materials, or games and toys, or, craft supplies, let me know. I am not an unreasonable being. Gifts are always appreciated.
Her eyes had taken on a yellow gleam in the torchlight, and one winked.
It's really not so terrible here, but we lose so many guests, often within the first few weeks, because they don't believe me when I tell them that their Doom Guard will kill them the very first time they test the rules.
She shrugged her bare shoulders in a gesture more serpentine than human.
Some decide later to commit suicide in much the same way.
Alexandra shivered, now not just from the cold.
Anywhere that says off-limits is off-limits. If you touch a door or a gate that says that, your Doom Guard will kill you,
said Edna.
And the outer wall of this prison, which you can see when you go into the outer courtyard, is off-limits. You can walk up to it and touch it, but don't, because...
My Doom Guard will kill me, Alexandra finished. Edna smiled. For the first time, her tongue flicked over her lips, reddish-black and forked.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for a formal trial, Alexandra said. They're supposed to let me know when the date will be. Edna's laugh was sibilant and liquid.
I'll be sure to let you know.
Alexandra found the laugh unreassuring. Was everyone sent here without a trial? Promised they'd get one eventually. Can I ask a question? Edna nodded. Does anyone ever really leave here? Alexandra asked. Edna leaned slowly back against her cushions, and her long tail arched and then coiled up beneath her, sliding against the stones.
Everyone mortal leaves here eventually, she said. There is no cemetery on Eerie Island.
She snapped her fingers again, and a different gate from the one the Doom Guard had come through opened.
Go find yourself a cell. Any empty one will do. Make sure you like it, because you don't get to change your mind later. And really, truly, don't try to run or attempt some pathetic wandless magic or hide outside your cell or anything foolish like that. Your Doom Guard will kill you.
She picked her crossword puzzle book back up. Do I get dry clothes? Alexandra asked. Edna raised a greenish eyebrow.
That's another question. But yes, the goblins will bring you prison robes in the morning. If you'd like something more comfy.
She smiled again, showing gleaming white teeth.
That too can be negotiated. Do you happen to know an 11-letter word for an inability to express feelings ending in an A?
No, Alexandra said numbly.
Ah, well.
Edna waved a hand, dismissing her. Alexandra walked through the open gate, and her Doom Guard clanked along behind her. There was a row of cells on the other side of the gate, with torches set in the wall opposite them. All of the cell doors were closed. About half had Doom Guards standing motionless in front of them. I don't suppose you talk, she said to her Doom Guard as she walked down the corridor.
They don't,
said a gravelly male voice. Alexandra stopped, seeing a cowled face looking at her through the unbarred window of his cell door. His Doom Guard stood just to the side, directly in front of the door latch. Is there a woman's cell block? Alexandra asked. The man laughed.
You must be a muggle-born.
What if I am? Alexandra said.
Do you have muggle relatives?
Asked the cowled wizard, sounding interested. He leaned forward, thrusting his face a little further through the window.
Muggle friends? You must know a lot of muggles.
There was something very creepy about his voice. More voices filled the stone corridor. Hoots, jeers, male and female, calling her princess and fresh blood. A woman shouted,
You sing, little girl?
You're very young, said the man in the cell. You must have done something awful.
He leered. Alexandra could only see his nose, which was large and wrinkled, but she stepped back as he extended a hand toward her. She almost bumped into her Doom Guard.
I killed a man without a wand, she said.
Without waiting to see his reaction, she marched on, not glancing at the other cells. The shouting continued, so she kept walking until she found an unoccupied cell around a bend, and nearly at the opposite end of the corridor from where she'd entered. The cell before it was also unoccupied, its door hanging open, while the last cell, on the opposite side, had a doom guard in front of it. But whoever was inside was quiet, at least. No catcalling or whistling or taunting came from within. The cell she entered was Spartan. There was a threadbare mattress on a wooden frame, a blanket and a pillow, a table and a chair, a dresser, and a stone pedestal with a sink and a piece of reflective metal hung on the wall above it. And next to that, a primitive commode that was just a hole cut in a wooden bench, like an outhouse. "It's really not so terrible here," Alexandra mumbled sarcastically to herself. She walked through the open door. The door swung shut and the lock clacked. She heard her doom guard settle into position on the other side. The shouting and jeering soon died down. Alexandra stared at the door for a long time, but eventually cold and fatigue won. She peeled off her still wet clothes and slid under the stiff, scratchy blanket on the bed. She turned her head away from the cell door. End of chapter 31.